Blog Talk Radio.
Blessings, and once again, welcome to the Gist of Freedom is Faith. My name is R. Lee Gordon of the National Black Teen Empowerment Expo and Unity Design, and it is always with great pleasure that I am to serve as your host for tonight's broadcast. This show, as always, is produced by acclaimed historian, educator, and author Leslie Gist Etheridge, and serves as our weekly live online discussion to celebrate the African-American experience by honoring all the people, past and present, black and white, who with faith and focus are preserving our rich history through literature, the arts, and the humanities. As always, we thank you for joining us tonight, and we love you to be a part of tonight's conversation by calling in with your comments or questions to 347-324-5552. Now, let's get right into it. Tonight's very special guest is Everett Staton, founder of the Black History Showcase, a nonprofit organization dedicated to promoting awareness and appreciation of African American history. Mr. Staton, thank you for joining us tonight.
Oh, thank you for having me.
It is indeed an honor. Let me share with our listeners that you are and continue to be a catalyst for numerous successful ventures promoting African American achievement and excellence. You were co-founder of Emerge Magazine, a managing partner of Black Expo USA, and you also founded the National African American Cultural Expo. Tonight, however, despite all of your many achievements, we are going to talk about the Black History Showcase. Would you be kind enough, in your own words, to share with our listeners a little bit more about what the Black History Showcase is all about?
Sure. I'd be happy to. One of the things, our mantra, and as you stated, the different endeavors that I had, this is all, I think we all continually evolve, through life. And we evolve to the point where we're trying to understand certain behaviors that we have as a community. And one of the things that stuck on us is that history is the basic knowledge that nourishes self-respect. And the more one knows and understands about their history, the greater the impact on their self-esteem and racial pride. So in 2004, we created the Black History Showcase as a way to promote a greater awareness and appreciation of African American history. And what we do, what makes us different is we feature a diverse mix of educational exhibits and activities that use real objects like artifacts and different things, real people, Buffalo Soldiers, surviving members of Buffalo Soldiers, Tuskegee Airmen, Negro League players, and real stories, either, once again, stories from the real people as well as documentaries. And we use these to accurately present the extraordinary achievement and events in African American history. So basically, what we try to do is we try to bring history to life through these real objects, real people, and real stories.
Fascinating. Now, you've been in existence for about 7 years now, correct?
Yeah, yes, we've been in existence for 8 years. This will be our seventh time we've held the event 1 year. We always have it at the convention center. 1 year, the convention center was under construction, and we could not have it at the convention center, so we did not have it that year. But we have been in existence for 8 years. The great thing about the Black History Showcase is that it is absolutely free to attend, and everyone is welcome. And we always have it at the convention center for a number of reasons, but one of the main reasons is that, you know, our history is very important. And we wanted to make sure that we held this event at a place that is looked upon as the crown jewel of exposition venues, which is always the convention center in every city, in most cities anyway. And it's in our city, Philadelphia, it's located downtown. So it's easy access to everyone. And so it's not in one part of the city. And we usually, this year, the event, the dates are April 23rd and 24th, which is 2 weeks from this weekend. Actually, it's Easter weekend. And we normally, when we first started, we had it in February. Mm-hmm. And during the course of the 6 years that we actually had it, two of those years, including last year, like a week before the event, we had to postpone it because we had a nor'easter come. So here we have been advertising, you know, come to the showcase on such and such a date, and then a week prior to it, we had to cancel it and do it in March. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of disrupted the flow, even though we had a great turnout last year. So what we said is, you know, Mother Nature is kind of telling us. And, you know, we always felt as though we want to do something throughout the year. So we decided that we would look at another time to do the showcase. And it works out great for Easter weekend because, you know, as you know, convention centers are for basically for conferences and conventions and things like that. No one has conventions on Easter weekend.
Mm-hmm. So the convention. And so this is, I'm sorry for cutting you off, Mr. This is going to take place on April 23rd and 24th at the Philadelphia Convention Center. And what I find remarkable in this day and age and economy is that it's a free event.
Well, you know what really, one of the things that we're very adamant about, I guess you would say, is that, you know, African American history has been denied being taught. The history that has been taught a lot of times has been whitewashed, pasteurized, or homogenized, whatever you might want to say.
Right.
So there were people, you know, back in the slave days that could have lost their life for teaching slaves how to read or write.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, you know, we really felt strongly that for us to have, you know, and we'll touch upon some of the exhibits that we have. But for us to have these wonderful exhibits, take, for example, one that is always the most popular is the Black Inventions Museum, which has around 70 replicas of different things that African Americans invented, and people walk by and they see that and they see the patent behind it and maybe some information about the inventor. And for us to have exhibits like this, you know, that really, I mean, I've literally seen people tear up when they looked at some of these things. I did not know that we invented that. I use that every day, you know.
Yes, you bring up such a very viable point, Mr. Staton, in that
we take for granted
our greatness.
Right.
And when you talk about inventions and Black inventors, there are so many products that we use every day. There are so many products that were invented by people like us that we don't know invented these products. And share with us, you know, I recall getting, you know, every now and then I get these emails, like these chain spam emails, but they talk about all of the different inventions by Black folk.
Right. Right, and you
share
have a number.
Share with us some of those inventions and some of these inventors. We know about, again, the popular inventors like George Washington Carver and what have you, but we don't know. There's a litany of inventors out there.
You have things like the mailbox, okay, the folding bed, you know, the biscuit cutter, the ironing board, the typewriter, the lawnmower. Now, you know, a lot of these things were, you know, they say necessity is the mother of invention. And I can see how we invented a lot of these things because we were the ones that were doing everything. Mm-hmm. And so we would get finished. I mean, could you imagine cutting the plantation with scissors?
You know, so,
right, exactly. Or a pocket knife or whatever, you know.
Right.
So you get back to the quarters and you say, we gotta come up with a better way to cut this grass because my back is killing me. And so you know, we invented the egg beater. Now, could you imagine our ladies, our wives, our mothers being in the kitchen fixing breakfast for Master and his family and everything, and what, maybe trying to scramble 50 eggs with a fork? You know, so I'm just giving you an example of, you know, certain things, you know, that why we have invented the pencil sharpener that is on the wall in classrooms, the fountain pen, folding chair. There's so many things. The refrigerator. I bet you, you know, and we're looking at this, trying to find this. There's a play that is set where they have they try and get a white family to try and, you know, who try to live a day without using something that a Black person invented.
Correct.
And it's
right.
very, I mean, the light switch and everything. But what I was saying to you, what the point I was making about it being free was that we felt very strongly that here we have all this information and these great exhibits about different things that we've been able to put together. And for us to charge someone in it, I mean, to come in and learn and see all our greatness would make us similar to the folks that wanted, you know what I'm saying, to deprive people of knowing about our history. So it's always free because all you need to do is be able to get there or want to know. And, you know, you should be able to come in and learn. And it's just so heartwarming to see the folks come in. And we always say that, you know, the most popular phrase that's heard are people walking around saying, I didn't know that, you know. And so that's why we it will always be free. We reach out to women's shelters. We've had some of the facilities have got a bus and brought their women and their families. And, you know, to have a woman come up to you with their children and thank you and tell you, you know, I'm so glad because that this was free and that you're doing this, because if you had just charged a dollar, we wouldn't have been able to come. You know, and it's like, you know, well, that cemented it right there, you know. So that's why,
right,
that's why it is free and will always be free.
Let's also talk about some of the other highlights in terms of exhibits.
Sure.
at the expo.
Okay, well, what we have is we have, usually have different suites. And, like, we have a slavery suite, which we have the Lest We Forget Museum of African American Slavery, and it contains the largest it features the most extensive collection, I guess you say, of slavery artifacts, Jim Crow memorabilia, and information ever assembled for public examination free of charge. Okay, there have been places that have shown, you know, the artifacts and everything, but these are usually museums where you have to pay to get in. The collection includes, like, shackles and branding irons, photos, documents, and a lot more. That's part of the slavery exhibit. We also have an exhibit from some folks at Cheney University, and it discusses archaeology in African American history and different findings in our history or about our history through archaeology and the importance of archaeology. And they even try to encourage people that may be interested in going to college interest them in studying archaeology, because, you know, that's important. Very important. We also have the African American genealogical group in the slavery suite, which will also be conducting a workshop called Introduction to Genealogy, which is important. And as anyone that's familiar with Leslie, you know, because Leslie is a great example of how genealogy connects you, you know, your family.
Right. Let's give people a layman's definition of what genealogy is. And in many ways, it's simply just connecting to your family tree and its roots. Is that a reasonable assessment?
Right. Yeah. That's exactly what it's, following your genes. Mm-hmm. You know. And the other, we have. We're proud to say that we're going to be joined this year by Leslie Gist, who will be sharing information at the Black History Showcase. We have Ms. Gwen Ragsdale, who has a documentary about slavery and female slaves. And it just won an award at the Martha's Vineyard Film Festival.
And Leslie and I have had her on the show as well.
Okay, great. Yeah, well, she'll be there also. And we have a couple of Underground Railroad stops, the Johnson House, the Cliveden House, the Cliveden House, as well as the Belmont Mansion Underground Railroad stops. So that's just the slavery suite right there. Then we have the Black Inventor Suite with the Black Inventions Museum that I mentioned earlier, which comes to us from Los Angeles. We have an exhibit about George Washington Carver, which is from a gentleman in Washington, D.C., who went to Tuskegee and just felt, you know, that there ought to be an exhibit about George Washington Carver. And he put together one prior to the one that was just out, I think, a couple of years ago. Matter of fact, it still may be circulating. And that's in the Inventor Suite. We have a military suite with the Tuskegee Airmen, the Buffalo Soldiers. We have a couple surviving Buffalo Soldiers. We have the United States Colored Troop reenactors who will be doing reenactments. We have the National Alliance of Women's Veterans that will be in the military suite discussing what their role was in the different wars. And we have another suite called Museums and More. And we have in that suite, we have exhibits about the Swimming Hall of Fame. Has an exhibit called Swimming in Black and White. And, you know, we never think about this, but, you know, we were one of the, and I didn't know this until I saw the exhibit. We were the greatest swimmers on earth at one point. It's even believed that the original Underground Railroad was the ocean, because slaves would escape by swimming away, okay? And then, hence, what happens is the plantation owners start telling folks that slaves were not allowed near the water unless they were unloading boats, because a lot of plantations were along the water. And so, therefore, now you would, you know, be disciplined if you were caught down there. So now you have the don't go near the water situation. And then, you also have the situation where when we have beaches, you know, we weren't allowed on the beaches. So what I'm saying, and there were no swimming pools. So that is how we got so removed from swimming. But this exhibit shows our greatness as swimmers. We have the Marian Anderson Residence Museum, because Marian Anderson was born here in Philadelphia. And so they have, her house is now a museum, but they have an exhibit about Marian Anderson. And they will also be doing on Sunday, which is Easter Sunday, they will be doing a reenactment of the historic concert that Marian Anderson did in 1939 on Easter Sunday on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. And because this fell on Easter, this was a great opportunity for them to do a reenactment. We have a Black Writers Museum here in Philadelphia, and they will have a photo and biographical exhibit of Black writers from the 1800s through the Black Arts Movement of the 1960s. We have the Black firefighters, the fire department. We have African American fire commissioner here, and he came to the event last year, and he enjoyed it so much he said, we're going to put together an exhibit about the history of Black firefighters. We have an exhibit
Scott,
about
let me cut you let me cut you off for a second, because I'm overwhelmed. I mean, it's really amazing that you can fit all of this under one roof in one weekend. And I certainly commend you for doing that. But, you know, one of the things that you hit upon is that we have lost, in many ways, a sense of our greatness. And in that reality and realization, we don't know that we were, as you mentioned, great swimmers at one point in our history. Leslie's mentioned to me about the black ice skaters ice skated on the Ohio River during the Underground Railroad as a means of escape. And you know, so you don't necessarily associate, what is it, like the Jamaican bobsled, you would never associate black people and ice skating. And so in many ways we have, we are not gifted with the great sense of self-esteem because we have lost our self-identity. I work with young people, that's really what it's all about. It becomes a conversation about filling those holes in our souls strictly through filling the void and self-identity in our greatness, in our legacy, not only here in this country, but globally. I mean, all of our contributions as the first people of this planet.
Exactly. And imagine how that is growing up, knowing how great you are, and as opposed to being viewed as being a menace to society. If you understand what I'm saying,
if you have that sense of self and sense of substance in terms of how great you are able to not believe the hype, and that's what
exactly.
Too many of our young people, and I would suggest too many of our adults as well, find themselves caught up in. You know, we have about 5 minutes left. One of the things I'd like to talk to you about is tell me about the turnout. You started about 8 years ago. I'm assuming that your crowds are a lot larger every subsequent year. Can you talk about how the crowds have changed in terms of numbers, and then maybe even in terms of diversity in what we now consider to be a more multicultural era?
Well, we started out, our crowds were around maybe 2,000, 3,000 folks when the first year that we did it, because, you know, it's just strictly history. You know, there's no entertainment factor. We don't have anyone performing. We do have speakers. You know, we do have the, like I said, the Marian Anderson concert, and we have a symposium this year about the impact of race and culture and history on body, mind, and spirit. So we do have what we call that conversations, performances. But now, as of last year, like the last couple of years, we were over 10,000 people that come through over the weekend. And we've noticed that one of the things that we're really proud of is that we see a lot of men with their children bringing, because we reach out and encourage people to come to bring their children so they can walk through history and have that interaction and answer questions that their children may have the way they would like them to answer, to like the questions to be answered. Now, as far as diversity, we have, by it being downtown in Center City, as we call it, we have an increasing number each year of non-African Americans that are coming, because you must remember our history was kept from us, but it was kept from other folks also. It's amazing to me how in the slavery suite, how many non-African-American people are there saying, I had no idea that slavery was this. This is the, we had one part of the slavery exhibit is an actual Ku Klux Klan robe that we have in a plexiglass container, but it's like on a mannequin. And just to come face to face with that gives you a chill. You know, and we have certain things, sheet music, and you know, one of the horrific things that were done during slavery is they used to use deformed babies as alligator bait. They did not want to raise. Right, and I've seen non-African American people just start crying, standing there looking at them. People have come up to me and apologized, and they just were so full of so we have a lot of non-African Americans that are coming. This past year we had quite a few Asians that came in, and like I said, I think people are interested. They're genuinely interested in knowing about, you know, I always say that, you know, we have the greatest story that's never been told.
Fascinating. Let me also share with our listeners that you can see some incredible images and photos that Leslie always puts up on www.blogtalkradio.com/theantiqueeshow. We have about 2 minutes left, Mr. Staton. We may actually run a little bit over, because I want to make sure we give people a full sense of the magnificence of the Black History Showcase. We talked about all of the different exhibits that you have there. Why do you think that our history is more important today than ever before?
Well, you know, to us it's important because our generation, a lot of us are seeking it, you know, because they, you know, to be fulfilled, you know, mm-hmm. to be completed. You know, I need to know, you know, when we were coming up, a lot of times you just heard us all we were. We were just slaves. And, you know, then you find out, you know, we built the pyramids and all the other things that we did. And like I said, when you see this list of black inventions and all these things, you know, that we use every day that we just took for granted were invented by someone that wasn't black. And so in the quest for truth, I believe that's why black history, African American history, it has become of great interest to folks, not only just African Americans.
You know, to Everett Staton of the Black History Showcase. It will be held this month, April 23rd and 24th, at the Philadelphia Convention Center. We encourage everyone to come out. And even if you can't make it, please share information about this among your circle, among your network, with your family and friends.
Our website is blackhistoryshowcase.org. And on there we have all the information that is from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. each day. It's absolutely free, and you'll also find a list of the exhibits and the activities that will be taking place. It really is a great one of the other things that makes it great, if I can say real quick, is that a lot of these exhibits are not have not been seen in museums, because these are private collections, such as the slavery exhibit. The Black Inventors Museum was someone who a young lady who has passed and now she's passed it on to her son is handling it. But she created this exhibit on her own, just like the George Washington Carver. So what it is you have people, you know, everyday folks who have, you know, have an interest in a subject matter and have researched it and created their own exhibit. It's not like, you know, the usual list of what we call our, you know, official historians, you know, that we sanction and give, you know, millions of dollars to create, you know, an exhibit about something. This is something that people, you know, did on their own, which makes it kind of special, you know.
Yeah, and Mr. Staton, you know, the thing is that it's not special. You're selling yourself short, because the value of what you do in terms of bringing our history to life every year is something I think that needs to be shared on a more prolific basis. And towards that end, have you considered bringing it to other parts of the country, other than just Philadelphia?
I have. The reason why it is only in Philadelphia is because we live in Philadelphia, and and the expense of taking, you know, like we use the sports analogy, it's a home game as opposed to a road game. You know, because the road game, you have travel, you have lodging, and everything, all the expenses. If we were able to identify a major corporation or a philanthropist, you know, that would say, okay, we want to underwrite this, I would do this in every city around the country. And once again, my criteria is that it has to be free. So it cannot be something that we make money off of people coming in the door. And what you find, though, through the years, what we found is that major corporations tend to shy away from something like this, because there is such a strong, excuse me, the slavery exhibit is one of our, you know how you have a mall, you have the anchor stores in a mall. The slavery exhibit and the Black Inventors Museum exhibit are two of our anchor exhibits. And that slavery exhibit is so powerful. Most corporations in this country have a dictate to stay away from things like that. Because
is that simply because of the era of multiculturalism, as I spoke to?
No, it's because most of these companies have benefited from slavery.
Okay.
So you follow what I'm saying? So
yes,
pardon me?
I do. I follow
okay,
what you're
right,
saying.
Right, right, right. So it's a thing of, you know, you do not sponsor or something that could possibly come back and invite you.
I can see how that might certainly be the case.
I've had that expressed to me, you know, that if you would just eliminate that slavery piece, we would be with you 100%. And I'm saying I can't. Well, you want me to act like it didn't happen? It's our
right.
Holocaust, you know,
right.
And we have to keep that. So that's what
that's
we
real.
Deal with.
Okay, we have a caller. Leslie, please connect the caller to the conversation. Caller, you're on the line. Leslie? Bear with me a minute, Mr. Stanton. Sometimes technology can be fickle.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have a caller? Oh, okay. I guess that... the caller will be joining us momentarily.
Mm-hmm.
Share with us your reason for being so passionate and committed to the work that you do through the Black History Showcase. And then if there's an are there opportunities for other exhibitors to possibly be part of this, Mr. Stanton?
Absolutely. Because
okay. How do they contact you? What's your particular exhibitors? I want to make sure that I get that out the way.
Okay. My email is evstatten, STATEN, at AOL.com.
Do you have vendors there as well?
Yeah, we have a marketplace, but the criteria to be in the marketplace is you have to have a history related items. Like, we don't have people there selling jewelry, you know, or anything. It has to be something history related, like maybe collectibles. You know, we have some people that we have a couple of T-shirt people who have historical T-shirts, you know, with subject matter that is history related. We have a brother who he has art and different memorabilia, but done in framed, but it's art. We have people that sell stamps, you know, collectible stamps.
Collectibles, okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. So if it's history related, you know, if it meets that criteria, then they can be part of the marketplace. Now, there is a cost to be a part of the marketplace, I'll tell you that, because that's you know, people are selling.
Sure, okay. And that's one way you fund the
right,
village.
Exactly, that. But see, we always have this thing, we say, are you selling or are you telling? If you're telling, then you come in and you're a part of the event, because we know that you put energy, time, effort, and your heart into creating an exhibit about Granville T. Woods, another brother did out of New York that worked for the transit department in New
York.
That's
right. I'm a very good friend of the gentleman who out of Harlem who actually creates this reincarnation of him. I believe his first name is Philip, but I'm not quite sure. I know Leslie knows him, and I've worked with him in some capacity here out of New York City.
Well, see, and that's the kind of thing. So no, there is no, you know, we don't charge. If you're going to be educating and telling, you know, we need this, and this is how it's grown for, you know, through the years, is because people have. There's a sister in Maryland. She's a Dorothy Dandridge fan. And she has put together this exhibit about Dorothy Dandridge. She has one of Dorothy Dandridge's dresses. She has a contract that, you know, on display that people can see one of her old contracts, because anything that's Dorothy Dandridge, she collects it. And she brought it up from Maryland a couple of years she was with us. So we find folks like that have that passion about something, we welcome them being involved. And you know,
Mr. Stanton, give me your contact information one more time, either email, phone number, or both.
evstatten, STATEN, at AOL.com.
Oh, thank you so much. The Black History Showcase will take place on April 23rd and 24th at the Philadelphia Convention Center. What are the times again? When the doors
11 a.m. to 7 p.m. both days.
Okay. And we did have a call from a young lady who actually wanted to come on and perform. I actually had her as a guest on one of our shows, Mary Elizabeth Bowser, the spy ex-slave. And she would like to be considered to perform at the event. So I'm going to ask that she reach out to you specifically.
Okay.
Share with us, if you would, Mr. Staton, your final thoughts as to why the work that you do through the Black History Showcase is so important, not just to Black America, but to all of us.
Well, you know, what we like to, you know, it goes back to, we strive to promote the awareness, knowledge, and appreciation of African-American excellence, okay, among all people, you know, while simultaneously furthering pride, dignity, and inspiration in those who identify directly with our heritage. And I think that's what it does. You know, the history of African-Americans is undoubtedly an inspiring testimony to the strength of the human spirit in the face of overwhelming adversity. I mean, you think about, we get up these days and say we're having a bad day. We don't know what a bad day is, really, based upon what our ancestors went through, you know. And so that's, you know, why I just think it's so important, you know, because learning about, you know, the unique struggles, triumphs, and contributions of African Americans, it is just such a great force, you know, in educating, you know, America about the African American experience. And like I said, you know, it's a source of dignity and pride for those of us who identify directly with our heritage.
And it is a celebration for all of us, regardless of color and culture.
Absolutely.
Before I let you go, Mr. Staton, I'd like you to share with us maybe your favorite highlight of a past expo, as it relates to an exhibition that may be a part of it. What is your favorite part of the Black History Expo, Black History Showcase?
Well, my favorite part is standing there watching the faces of the people, you know, the different expressions of them walking through the Black Inventors Museum, and you know, tapping the person there with and pointing, you know, like, well, I didn't know that. You know, did you see that? Do you see this? You know, one of the great things I like to say, the story that I like to tell about that is, we had Ben Cohen, who was one of the owners of Ben and Jerry's Ice Cream, and he came to the event one year, and I'm giving him the walkthrough, and I took him to the Black Inventors Museum, and, you know, African Americans invented ice cream, okay, and Augustus Jackson invented ice cream, and when I told him, I told Ben, who's really a down to earth guy, I call him the last of the hippies, but I said, look, I'm going to blow your mind now with this, and we went over, and he turned. You know, he turned colors, you know, he turned red. He grabbed his colleague. He said, I did not know that, because we had a little ice cream mold there, you know. And then next to it, so if we invented ice cream, what else did we invent? The ice cream scoop. You know what I'm saying? So we invented the scoop too, you know. So that was one of those stories. But here's a man who's, you know, what, over 400 billion served, you know, he's become a billionaire selling, you know, ice cream that they make, and was not aware of the fact that, you know, an African American had invented ice cream. Okay,
you know,
so,
isn't it interesting? The person here in New York, out of Harlem, is a gentleman by the name of David Head, who has been instrumental in keeping the legacy of Granville T. Woods, one of the, I believe, inventor of the semiconductor. I know he was primarily, if not solely, responsible for building the New York City public subway system.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to make sure I put that out there. Again, Mr. Satin, thank you so much for your meaningful work. A few months ago, I read a study about the fact that there is an increasing suicide rate among young black men. And the so-called experts and researchers attribute it to the fact that these young men don't have a sense of self-identity, don't know where they come from, don't know what we as a people have overcome. And so the work that you do is so important, not just in terms of keeping our history alive, but keeping a spirit that we have been through the worst of humanity, we have overcome the worst of humanity, and we are still striving, we are still thriving. And I'm grateful to you for keeping that legacy alive.
Well, I thank you. And this is a collective effort of folks, you know, who, you know, this is our first interaction, but, you know, I met Leslie through this, you know, and I think by us connecting with each other, you know, I'm very hopeful that, you know, we are converting people, you know, into being most appreciative of our history and appreciating our greatness.
That's right. Amen to that. Thank you again for joining us. The Black History Showcase will take place at the Philadelphia Convention Center on April 23rd and 24th. I encourage you to come out and support this wonderful event. You will not leave the event untouched. You will leave the event buoyed. And if you, for whatever reason, cannot make this event, please share it among your circles of influence. Please, please, please share it with families, with children, because I think it is so critical that our children see the greatness upon which they stand and which many have built for them. Mr. Staton, thank you again.
Thank you.
In closing, let us remember the spirit of our greatness as embodied by those who have paved the way for us, because in many ways their souls still live within us today. We hope by sharing their stories, we hope by sharing these stories that we have helped to reawaken your strength and passion in their honor so that we are all inspired to make history every day. Thank you for listening to The Gist of Freedom is Faith. God bless. Good night.